Wednesday, July 22nd. A busy day. Work on the mail, calling the governors whom we have invited for the state dinner next Monday for the President Malagasy, asking them and their wives to be our house guests. After all, it's a long way to come from Nebraska or Iowa or California just for a dinner. And to spend the night is a lot more intimate and homey. And then, after 11 o'clock, the now familiar ceremony of arrival on the South Lawn for the Prime Minister of Malaysia, Tunku Abdul Rahman. Tunku means prince, not accompanied by a wife. This short, stocky, spectacled Asian, very articulate and really quite humorous, who is prime minister over some 10 or 11 million people who inhabit the island of Borneo, or at least a part of it, and a portion of the long archipelago that extends down from Thailand, Cambodia, Vietnam, the most sensitive part of the world these days, was really an interesting guest. Up to now, his young country has very successfully resisted the efforts of communism to take him over them. We streamlined the ceremonies as much as we could. Flags, salute, welcoming speeches, reviewing the troops outdoors. But then, because it was so very hot, Angie had us come inside the diplomatic reception room to greet all the diplomatic corps. A very good idea. One of the delightful moments was seeing the 7-year-old son, Richard Ong, of the Malaysian ambassador, all dressed up in the costume of his country, outside waiting the Tunku's arrival. Our entertainment for him was a luncheon. We met upstairs with the Tunku and his Secretary of State, Dato Muhammad Ghazali bin Shafi. Dato is a title which means Sir or Lord. Datin is the feminine version of it. Their ambassador, incidentally his wife Datin Ong, is a highly capable and outgoing woman, as so many Asian women are. Of course, the Rusk, now ambassador to Malaysia, James Bell, the Dukes, and two Bundys, the MacGeorge Bundys and the William Bundys. Then downstairs to a luncheon for about 100. Which included the white-thatched governor of Virginia and Mrs. Harrison, getting so that more foreign visitors land in Williamsburg than do in Washington, our very valued assistant, David Lawrence of Pennsylvania, and two mayors of large cities, the Henry Myers of Milwaukee and the Raymond Tuckers of St. Louis. And from the art world, as though the Felix de Weldon's, is doing a big piece of sculpture from Malaysia, and Renee Darnincourt, my 6'9" friend from the Museum of Modern Art. The Texans present were the John Lynches of Houston and Dr. and Mrs. Bill Morgan of Austin and the W.R. Pickens of Dallas. One of our district men, Glenn Williams of Bryan with his wife. Jim Fitzpatrick from Abe Fortas's office, who is helping spearhead the Young Citizens for Johnson, was there with his wife. Ivan Smith, the red-headed playboy millionaire from Beverly Hills, who had been, and how unlikely, an advance man for us in 1960, was there with a pretty little kitten of a French wife, and a couple I had met and liked on my campaign trips, former Governor John Swainson of Michigan, a youthful double amputee who lost to Romney, and his pretty wife, Alice. Dear Robin Duke's friend, Mrs. Hawkett Amory, who helps her out by being chairman of the Blair House Fine Arts Committee. Luncheon was remarkable for several reasons. One, in moving the loudspeaking equipment across the table, the waiter knocked a full glass of red wine off on my dress. And second, both the Tunku and Lyndon were offbeat and humorous in their toasts. Tunku was remarking about how, on his other trip to the United States, he had been here during the time of an election. He could well realize what a terrific job it was to cover this enormous country. When he came to just a perfect pause, Lyndon interrupted him quickly to say that he, Lyndon, would be mighty satisfied if his party got the 85% majority at the polls that the Tunku had received in his election. The Prime Minister continued by saying that he was happy that he didn't have to stand for election in such a vast country. I wish you luck. I shall say no more for fear of treading on dangerous grounds. So I will content myself by wishing every success to the voters, which brought down the house for the second time. Lyndon's interruption had delighted them too. The Tunku went on to praise the Peace Corps, to take a swipe at the Indonesians, next-door neighbors who plainly consider us a tasty morsel to tempt the appetites of giants. With about 80 million people, they are about the fourth or fifth in population of any country in the world, and a bristling menace to their island neighbors, the Malaysians. About 5 o'clock that afternoon, Mary Lasker came to see me, bringing a Grant Wood picture of spring in the city, which she wanted to give to the White House if we could find just the right place to put it. And also for Lyndon's birthday, for his very own, two wonderful letters, one entirely in George Washington's own handwriting, inviting a friend for the wedding reception for Nellie Custis. The other, an official order written in 1789, establishing the Department of State of the new young republic. Only it was called the Department of Foreign Affairs. She was bringing this birthday present early because she's leaving for Europe next week for her place in the south of France, where she always spends about 6 or 8 weeks in the summer, and where she's invited me, and oh, how I yearn to go. We went over to Lyndon's office and tried to visualize the Grant Wood's picture in the fish room. Did a little rearranging in Lyndon's office with some Lowestoft cash poles that would be full of greens underneath the George Washington on the mantel. And then quickly went back to the West Hall to join Richard Adler, the handsome, intense, attractive producer of Pajama Game and Damn Yankee, who was given so much time and talent for the Democratic Party and the Kennedy administration and now the Johnson administration. He wanted to talk about recording White House entertainments and making a very special, handsome album of them to offer for sale as a sort of collector's item, with the proceeds to go to the Kennedy Cultural Center for the Arts. All of the artist's work, even the pressing of the records, everything could be obtained free, and it would give it a certain elan because it was a White House entertainment. And he suggested an introduction by me. I told him I'd be glad to do anything I could for the Art Center. And this sounded like it had real good possibilities, although I thought his price of $25 per album won't appeal to record collectors like Linda. Then we talked of the success of some of the programs in the past, such as the Dinner for Senia of Italy with Robert Merrill and the Christie Minstrels, and the somewhat limited appeal of the readings from the Irish for the Dinner for De Valera. And I made it clear to him all the time that I looked forward to a limited future only, and that he might be sitting in that same spot talking to someone else 6 or 8 months from now. He said if that happened, he wouldn't be sitting in this country at all. He'd have his money in a Swiss bank or something and be off on an island. When I said goodbye to them, my next appointment was already waiting for me. I had asked the Texans who had come to lunch to stop by and have a drink with me because I scarcely have time to say hello at a luncheon for 100, the Lynches, the Pickens, the Glenn Williams and their 3 children, and Dr. and Mrs. Morgan, whom I'd asked to be our house guest. We met on the Truman balcony, my favorite spot in what Lyndon called this compound, for Texas news and reminiscences. And then later, Dr. and Mrs. Morgan and I went for a walk in the Rose Garden. Lyndon saw us and beckoned us into his office. It was a good time for the doctor to see what sort of hours he keeps, because it was about 9:40 when he came in for dinner. And after that, I had a good long talk with Lucy and Interlaken. She said, "Mother, if you want to get an inferiority complex in one quick lesson, you ought to be out here. These children are fabulous. They know so much, Mother. Music is their life." Her big day is tomorrow, with a concert in the afternoon for all of the students at Interlaken and their families, and then, in the afternoon, a concert for the public. She told me that the Today Show had taped her first practice session with the orchestra, and she was real worried because she wasn't a bit good and had been getting better all day long. I think she'll make out all right, as long as she considers them fabulous and understands her own shortcomings and is absolutely natural.